Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to the Renaissance Tennis Podcast. Well, it really should be the, let's call it the, well, we nicknamed ourselves hashtag Patubsy. Patco, Stubsy, I think that's still pretty good. Anyway, welcome to the Patubsy podcast, I think we should start calling it. But what a day yesterday. Of course, women's semifinals day was played in the evening. And Petco, what do you think about the two back-to-back matches in the evening before we get into the actual matches?
Well, I know what you think, and I'm sure we will get into it and into a five-minute rant from Renee Stubbs, but I agree with you. We talked about it on the way back in the car. I agree with you 100%. I'm all for a night session because the atmosphere was absolutely electric.
Yeah.
It was fascinating to see, especially the Goff-Sabalenka, but also the Zhang and Jastrzemska match. The atmosphere was great. It was amazing to play underneath the lights. It was raining in Melbourne, so the roof was closed. It really had an indoor feel. However, start at 6.
Yeah.
Start at
6:30.
Or 6:30, because again, we were home at 1:30 a.m., and that's us. That's us, so we don't sleep before 2. And think about the players, you know, because they are riled up even more than... And we already have adrenaline flowing through our bloods. We both called the second match as well.
Yeah.
So you will get excited for these players. You see these great narratives and stories play out, and you can't go to sleep. Imagine what the players feel like, who have played on the big stage, who have felt the atmosphere. They won't be able to sleep until 3, 4 a.m. We talk about this all the time, and it's really rough to come back from that and play the biggest match of possibly your life.
Yeah.
So, just start a bit earlier, just a bit. It's 1 hour and it'll make all the difference.
I understand there's a lot of things that go into it. Clearly, we both work in television and, you know, we're in production meetings, so we hear all the time. And I'm sure, and I know from working here for Channel 7, the Channel 7 network, when they covered it, they want to start after the news. Like, the news is very important for people to watch on TV, and then they want to put the tennis on. So then that's why they start at 7. Well, then start at 7. Don't start at 7:38. You know, there was, announcements made before the match, which was fantastic. Yvonne Goolagong-Colley, they announced that the Indigenous Day at the Australian Open is now going to be called the Yvonne Goolagong-Colley Day, which is all great.
Yeah.
So there's all some really wonderful things. And, you know, we had the Women's Inspirational Series with Elle McPherson and Yvonne over there yesterday, and that was great. And I really appreciate that Tennis Australia do that. You know, have all these wonderful women like come together and have this great day. But like, I think starting at 7:40. So therefore, by the time the first couple of games is done, it's already 8 o'clock. So, I mean, if Coco and Sabalenka had gone three sets, I mean, the second match wouldn't have got on the court till like 11 o'clock or something. I just think it's too late for the people to be sitting there as well, like to go and sit and watch a second match. I mean, I saw people yawning at like 12:10, which is when they finished or something. It's like, I was yawning. I mean, I think it's just too late as far as I'm concerned. I know the rest of the world don't really care because the rest of the world are like, oh, great, it's on our time zone
now. Yeah, well, that also plays into the part. Tennis is a global sport. And our stars are global stars. They come from all over the world. As we see now, we have...
But is China ahead? China is ahead of Australia, but a little bit behind.
A little bit behind, so but they are on the... it would have been peak hour. And I've heard, for example, from the day before when Coco Gauff got scheduled at 1 p.m., normally they started at 12 and then they played this long match when Coco played Kostyuk. So I heard ESPN actually requested the 1 p.m. start because that would have been prime time in the U.S. and they had Coco and Taylor Fritz playing back to back. So they wanted that in the prime time.
There's a lot.
So
there is
a lot to go that goes into. Mm-hmm. But we're, of course, both were former players. We're arguing from the perspective of the players and we're arguing from the perspective of how recovery works and how sleep works. And I think that's why we would like to have it start maybe just one hour early.
Anyway, besides that, what a great first match that was played. No question, I watched Coco play every match. That was by far the best match she's played the tournament. I think she came out hitting her forehand really clearly, aggressively, swinging through it, which is literally the biggest issue that she has. She sort of has that windscreen wiper forehand finish. And if you don't accelerate through that, it's going to be in the bottom of the net. Mm. And then when you get nervous...
But very short.
Or when you get nervous, if you don't swing, it becomes just a little too short. Mm-hmm. And it sits there. And I thought Coco did a great job of not panicking at the beginning because mm-hmm. Sabalenka came out like she's done against everybody and was just like 7 points in a row, mm-hmm. like, oh my God, goes up to love. It's like, here we go. But then all of a sudden, especially from courtside, you could see the shift with the anxiety level of Sabalenka when Coco broke back to go 2-1. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, we've got the match that we expected on our hands. Coco making a million balls. Coco not missing the forehand. Coco hitting her backhand great. Coco started to serve well. And then you saw all of a sudden Sabalenka went from controlling it to, oh, shit. She's back to lockdown mode of not missing. And then you could see the anxiety level grow. And there was one point on her serve when she lost her serve, I think it was at 4-3, where she won a point to go like 15 all or something. And she screamed really loud for the first time, like, come on. And I thought, oh, that's a lot of anxiety for someone who's leading us up a break right now. And sure enough, that's the game she lost. Because when Sabalenka is obviously always a bit of a nutter and always a little bit anxious looking, but you can tell when the anxiety grows just that 10% because all of a sudden her timing goes completely off on her on her groundies and she misses by a way, like in the bottom of the net or 12 feet wide and you're like, oh, shit. All of a sudden she's starting to press knowing that Coco's getting the ball back. She doesn't know what to do. I could tell that like all the anxiety from the US Open was like entering her body. And then it became a match and then Coco was 5-4, 30 love and missed relatively easy forehand.
6-5.
Yeah, but serving for the first set. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it was 6-5. And I was like, oh boy. And then you could see Coco just realize, oh no, my forehand. Because the next point, she had a relatively easy forehand and just hit it so badly with no racket head speed whatsoever. And I hadn't seen that for at least the whole set. And I went, oh boy, this is going to be a tie break again. And sure enough, she was broken. It went into a tie break. But it was so emotionally up and down that first set. It was crazy.
It was it was really, really high quality, I have to say. And two things on Coco's forehand. I think when she plays people like Sabalenka, she knows she has to hit it, right? When she plays Marta Kostyuk, she feels like she can get away with just putting it in and scraping by. And scraping by on her athleticism, right? And I think she likes the pace. I think when somebody hits with... And the thing is with Sabalenka's forehand, we talked about it over the course of the fortnight many times. Yes, it's fast, but it's also a bit heavy. So she can get under the ball. It's not necessarily as flat as other girls play it. And so she can get under the ball. And I think that suits her really well.
It does.
That ball, because it's fast, so she doesn't have to generate too much. But it still sits up enough that she can get under the ball with that extreme of a grip. And I think that's why the head-to-head is slightly in favor of Coco, because I don't think the Sabalenka forehand bothers her as much as
it doesn't.
Maybe other
and the
forehands.
It was interesting because I saw them both, and I saw Sabalenka in particular, who had sort of choices of where she was going to go with her backhand. And rather than go to the forehand, she went big to the backhand, which is normally something where she's like, oh, I'm going to win this battle. Yeah. I'm going to win backhand to backhand against anybody. And arguably, you could say that.
Yes.
But against Coco, negative. She's not going to win that battle. Coco loves you hitting the ball hard to her backhand. And her backhand, because she's so athletic, she's going to win that ball a lot. Mm. So you could tell that she was like panicked. But she was like trying to almost make a statement. I'm going to hit you off the backhand. And then she was like, oh, shit, that's not working. Mm. So it was just so fascinating to watch this sort of like this whole matchup. And you're right, because in the next match with the Yastremska, Anjung they both hit the ball harder than Sabalenka. Mm. We showed it on the stats. And because I said something like, Yastremska hits the ball so big, both of these two. And then the guy that I was working with, Chris Fowler, he's like, really? And I was like, oh, yeah. I think you get a little bit confused because the grunt is so loud on Sabalenka. You're like, oh, my God, that ball's coming so big. But it isn't, because we proved it by showing that those two after them actually hit the ball harder.
Yeah.
So I think you're right when it comes to Sabalenka, particularly the forehand. She puts just enough spin, which is, by the way, why she's playing better.
Yeah.
on the ball, which is allows Coco to actually get under it a little bit. Yeah. So, but the tiebreak was, oh my God.
I think two things about Coco. I think she lost the first set because of her serve again.
Yeah.
It just let her down with the double fault in the most important moments. I think at 30-15 after that.
She had like 8 in the first set or something.
Yeah, and I think after she missed the forehand, she hit a double fault to go 30 all. And that's the best feeling in the world on the other side.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, her weaknesses are cracking.
Exactly, because that's just the mental signal. I got her.
Yeah.
She's choking. She's tight. She's tense. But then I have to also say, Coco, what a competitor.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Because just looking at the tennis, Aryna Sabalenka should win this match in the form she's in right now, 6-2, 6-3.
Yeah.
But just by sheer competitiveness and mental strength and mental fortitude and athleticism, of course, that backhand, Coco almost, and I swear to God, if she had won that first set, it would have been 7-5, 6-3.
Yeah.
Because you could, exactly what you said.
Yeah.
And I was watching in the green room getting ready for the next match. So I was like a million miles away and the anxiety was bouncing off of the roof. And you could just feel that US Open trauma, let's say, because she should have won that final. If we're
and the
honest.
Crowd was loud last night.
Yes, they were.
And because the roof was closed, also it was even louder.
Yes.
And you could probably think, in some respects, for Sabalenka, that oh god, there was no question there was scar tissue. I actually after the match, I did the flash interview with her for ESPN, and I did ask her, was there a moment where the US Open came into your mind? Mm. And she said, absolutely.
Mm.
Which is interesting because some people say no. And Sabalenka's not a bullshitter.
Yeah.
She's going to tell you the truth. She's like, yeah, there's no question. That started to creep into my mind a little bit because it was very similar.
Yes.
Up a set
yes.
and a break, like looking comfortably, and then the crowd brought her back. And there's no question the crowd, I think the crowd were very even in that match last night.
But of course, they always root for the underdog.
Which is what happened.
Yes, exactly. Because Aryna was up the entire first set until Coco turned it around.
She won first seven points. Yeah. So the crowd were like, oh no, this is going to be a pooper scooper match, you know? And then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, we've got a match. So I think they really, and frankly, I think the Sabalenka grunt kind of gets to people, kind of gets annoying. Mm. And I think some people that are really, truly neutral start sort of shifting towards.
Yeah.
The player that's not making the noise and not being like, you know, obnoxious in their eyes. And they started pulling for Coco, I think, in that regard because of that. But, you know, we know that Aryna's a nice girl.
And both of them are really likable, I have to say. I think you can tell that audience just flock to both of them because they are, and Aryna different than Coco. Also a great competitor, just in her own, very expressive, right?
Yeah.
You see the anxiety, you see the
kicking
happiness.
Kicking the ball when
everything.
She like misses
exactly.
a volley.
Yes.
I mean, she's a classic.
She's a classic. She's but just both in their own ways. And this is what I really like about them. And I want to put Iga and Rybakina into this as well. Like we talk about lack of personalities. And yes, maybe Iga and Rybakina are a little bit more introverted. But they all have their very own thing on court.
Yeah.
If you think about it, the Iga nervousness, the anxiety that propels her to do better than the Rybakina ice queen type of thing where she never reacts to anything. They all have their own manner in how they behave on court. And I have to say, I really like it. I feel like there is this theory, the silhouette theory. I don't know if you know that. And it's about how somebody is iconic when you can just tell them by the silhouette like the Michael Jordan classic, Elvis, you know, just by seeing the hair, you know exactly who it is. Amy Winehouse. And I feel like if I could just glance at one of these players and see how they walk and behave on the court, I could right away place them. And I think it's a great moment for women's tennis. And
yeah.
The future looks bright because let's talk about the second match.
Yes.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So Chin Wen Chen, I mean, it's interesting to me because I'm just going to toot my own horn here because, you know, how I like to do that. But ESPN sent out an email every single tournament prior to, okay, who's, you know, who are your two picks and who are your two picks outside of the top 10 to do well in the tournament. And I picked Khachanov in the men's and I picked Q. I picked Chin Wen to get to do well in the women's. Now, did I think she'd make the final? I didn't know, but I certainly knew she had the capability of doing that just because the last 12 months has been an epic rise for her. I mean, she's now with that win in the top 10 of the, in the world. So, you know, admittedly, I picked Iga to win the tournament and I picked Novak. So just to be honest, but my outsider is looking really good. But boy, talk about great composure. Yastremska absolutely came out. I have to say, considering they've never been in a semifinal, either of them, considering, you know, the enormity of the crowd and the moment, I thought they both came out looking very composed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yastremska's obviously composed because she's got to be fucking exhausted. I mean, she's played like 48 matches, yeah, you know, to get there. Seven matches to get to the semifinal, which is pretty extraordinary, especially in the quality. She won every match in three sets.
And in the when she got to the main draw, all her opponents were top 50 opponents. She only beat top 50, starting with Vondrousova, number 7 in the world in the first round. But she beat all top 50 opponents, and interestingly, in two sets. So clearly, the outside the top 100 players are somehow harder for her to handle than the top 50
players. I think she doesn't focus maybe on them, or just overplays, or who knows. But her ranking will rise tremendously after this. She'll be almost seeded for the next Grand Slam, and I think a lot of players will appreciate that they don't have to play her. But you know, it was a really, really good competitive match. There's no question that Yastremska came out playing unbelievable. Got up 2-love as well last night. You're like, okay. But then Q has this amazing ability to be so composed. I love her personality on the court because I think she's super composed. She doesn't show a lot of facial expressions or being upset or being happy. But then when she plays a great point and she lets out that, cool!
Yes,
I love that. Because she's letting her opponent know that, you know what? I'm composed, but I'm also going to step on you when it's time.
Yes.
And very similar to Pete Sampras.
Yes.
Pete Sampras was like that. He's like very, very cool. And then when he went, come on, that one time, you were like, oh, shit. Roger was like that. Federer.
Yeah.
Very rarely let out the come on. But I love Q's personality like that.
And what you just said now, I want to pick up on that because that is such a astute observation that you said about when she's there, when she's in front, she steps on you.
Yeah.
Because she is a front runner. We had the stat in the booth. When she breaks early, she wins 82% of sets. That's an incredible number. And she also is 18-1 when she wins the first set in Grand Slams. And the only time she lost was the Iga Świątek match at the French Open when she had the period cramps. Yeah. Do you remember this?
And she's playing Iga on clay.
And she's playing Iga on clay. So even without period cramps, it would have been really tough to pull through.
And she was so young.
Yeah, and that was 2 years. That was 2 years ago. So exactly what you said. She's an absolute front runner. And who do we know to be front runners? The Serenas.
That's it.
Well, the big champions, right? The Rogers.
Yeah.
The Rafas. Yeah. The Novaks. When they break early, you can go take a photograph of yourself, how you looked at that moment.
You can walk to the net and shake hands. But I thought she was great. Yastremska, you know, had the trainer out at one point. We're not sure what happened there, but, you know, she has played a lot of tennis, so it wouldn't surprise me if she's a little injured. But just overall, I think Chin Wen is a player that, you know, there is so much about her game that can get better too, her, the second serve, her volleys because she hit such a big ball and a heavy ball. It's going to actually allow her to come into the net more than she realizes, because women on the run, you know, whether it's a backhand or forehand, is that when the ball's hit with that top spin, it's jumping out of their hitting zone.
Exactly.
So there's going to be balls that they just get to, but it's going to be in the air. And if she can learn to just take that out of the air, I think that'll be even an added thing for her.
Yeah.
So there's so many things that she can get better at.
So both both players really. Oh, absolutely. I think Diana also, I think also that she played good. I think she probably had matches where she would say she played better, but she played, as you said, 7,000 matches coming here. So she clearly was a bit tired. She returned so hard, and it was really...
Oh, my God, so hard.
Yes, so hard. She, by far the hardest of all the 8 quarterfinalists, actually. And it was so great to see how Chin Wen got used to it. In the beginning, she was overwhelmed by the pace that came at her.
Oh,
but then she just got used to it, and she kept doing this little pickup and neutralizing the rally. And I was like, oh, my God, on the forehand side with that extreme grip. I was like, oh, my God, that's really hard. And I think if Diana can... develop her defensive game a little bit, because you can see it.
Oh yeah, when she's on her dead movement, run, she still tried to go for the most.
She goes for a winner, but you see why? Because she never actually catches her body weight to cover the other court. She always runs through it, and if you run through it just a few steps,
you gotta hit.
You
a winner.
Have to hit a winner because you're not coming back.
No.
And so if she can develop that, maybe a bit more. Maybe it's a strength thing. Maybe she just needs to get a bit stronger in the legs and the glutes, that she can catch her body weight. And Chin Wen does that amazing. And I really think, and you asked her in the interview about it, I really think her defensive game yesterday was the difference, because she got a few slices back where you thought the point was over. Diana doesn't like the short slice into the... that's the only shot she decelerates her wrist on and her stroke on, is when she gets that short slice into the... Like Taylor Fritz, we talked about it in the other day. And so for both players, still very young, incredible prospects, if they improve a few of the aspects of the game, I think they will be contenders at every single Grand Slam if they put their minds to it. And, you know, there are so many things. You have to stay healthy. You have to learn to deal with the expectations that now come your way, and so on and so forth. But just strictly tennis-wise speaking, I think both of these players have incredible potential, especially Chin Wen, because she has the poise.
Yeah, the poise is huge. Although Yastremska's improved hers as well, because she used to be a little bit more petulant, and she'd default matches and call the trainer out and all the bullshit that she does and had done in the past. So I think she's hopefully realizing that that's actually A, not cool, and B, I don't need to do that. Mm. I'm too good. Like, I got to get the respect from the locker room back, and that's... You know, slowly, hopefully, with these results, she'll get that that respect back in the locker room because of it. Because she's had some dubious defaults in the past. I'm just going to say that. Like, 6-love, 5-love, and they said, oh, I've had enough.
The
like,
classic DDs.
The classic DDs.
Dubious defaults.
Yes, that's it. And we'll get that put on a T-shirt. So, finals. Sabalenka, Chin Wen, what do you think?
I think Arina. I'm gonna back Sabalenka. I think she's... I said it before, I'll say it again. She's the player to beat at this year's Australian Open. I think she should be at this form. She should be unplayable. Mm-hmm. I think she has these quirks where she just wanders off for a few games and overplays, and instead of just, you know, putting the ball in and waiting for the right volley. She sometimes just gets nervous and anxious, but she is just, I want to say, 2 levels ahead of the pack right now.
Yeah.
I will say, though, the most impressive thing about Chin Wen to me was she had all the pressure ever since the quarterfinals on her shoulders, even though the first time she reached the second week of a Grand Slam was 4 months ago at the US Open. Mm. So she's not experienced, and she did it so well. She was expected to make the final. That's the toughest place to be in, especially as a young player. And she made the final, and now she has absolutely nothing to lose. She can play with full freedom. She can go for it. She can swing freely. And it's going to be interesting to see how Arina reacts to that heaviness of the forehand, because she hasn't had that so much so far.
I did interview Chin Wen after the match, and when I asked her about playing the final, because the last time they played, she got absolutely smacked on the court at the US Open by Sabalenka. But she's a more experienced player now, and she's arguably a better player now. But I did ask her about how she's going to turn it around. And basically she said, look, it's a final. Anything can happen in a final. And you just never know. And I thought, that's really smart. She's not like, oh, it's my first, it's her third. Like, you know, she wasn't thinking about Sabalenka being this player. She was like, there's vulnerabilities there. Everyone has vulnerabilities in finals, and I'm going to take advantage of that. So we'll see. Hopefully it's a competitive match, because if it is, it'll be great.
I have to say one thing, and I have to make this point. Remember 5-6 days ago when everyone was talking about how the women's draw fell apart and how all the seeds are dropping like flies? In the end, all is good, because we have the second best player in the world in one of the bottom halves that came through. And we have a young, very talented, now top 10 player on the other side. So if we could have signed this before the Australian Open, all of us would, because Qin Wen has been the hope for the last 2 years. Yeah. And Arina obviously has played so solidly on the Grand Slam stages. So really, nothing went that much awry.
Yeah, and I can tell you the tournament's happy about it, especially Australia. The Australian Open is the Oceania Pacific Grand Slam.
Yes.
And so, trust me, when you have a Chinese player in the final and you've got 6 billion people, literally, I'm not making that number up this time, like, are going to be watching this match, and the interest in tennis in China again, with what happened with Li Na, who's here at this tournament, because it's her 10th year anniversary, which is fantastic. And I have a feeling, and I don't know this, I have a feeling she might be the one giving the trophy out.
Oh, that would be cool.
Because that's one of the reasons why they probably, you know, she's down here. So we'll see. I don't know who's going to be. Yeah. That's just a guess. But wouldn't it be great and amazing if it was Qin Wen who ended up winning the tournament and getting the trophy from Li Na? But either way, it's going to be a great final.
Yeah, and just a little anecdote. Our booth is next to CCTV.
Oh.
So we ran into the Chinese reporters after Qin Wen won, and they were beside themselves. And we asked them, how many people do you think will watch? And they were just gesturing like they can't even place the number how many. Well, they were so excited. It was really fun to see.
And she is going to influence some little 11 year old kid to take up tennis and play tennis, because that's what happened when we've all seen the photo of Qin Wen watching the women's final when Li Na won it, and this big smile on her face. And who would have thought 10 years later she'd be having a chance to do the same thing? So role models are very, very important. Just real quick, because we don't want to keep going on and on forever. Novak and Sinner. It's going to be a great match today. I cannot wait.
I cannot wait for both. I mean, honestly, all semifinals, women's and men's side, are just little cupcakes with a little bit of jam filling, a nice frosting.
And the sprinkles. Best of frostings.
Yes.
No sprinkles.
Just a little bit of sprinkle.
Und klein?
Yeah. What, you know what the sprinkle is?
Yeah.
That you and I get to announce the matches.
Oh, that's true. That is the sprinkle.
That is the sprinkle. Yeah. And just two words, because the Germans were in the doubles semifinals, men's, Köpfer and Hanfmann. So I watched the entire doubles. I think maybe this was the first time I watched the doubles from first point to last. And both men's semifinals ended in the third set tiebreaker. And it was incredible. It was so exciting, and a true nail biter, Rohan Bopanna, 43 years old.
I mean, unbelievable.
Honestly, Renee, I'm a little bit disappointed by you, because I still expect you to come back and show these girls and get your shit together. Start working out, fix your shoulder, fix your neck, and stop being a pussy ass bitch.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. The shoulder is not going to be hitting serves the way I used to. But I tell you what, if I could, I would definitely get back out there. Having said that, speaking of doubles, what about Su Weishei?
I know.
Drew to another final again in women's doubles. That was an amazing match yesterday. There were some crazy points. And Su Wei is just classic. I mean, the shit that she can pull off on the doubles court. I mean, I played against her a couple of times, and she's just hilarious. Zero power, except when she wants to. She can slap a winner here and there.
Yeah, on the backhand side, she
this
can.
Is what the women, and in particular, the guys are still playing sort of traditional doubles, especially Rohan Bopanna and Matt Ebden. They're serving and volleying. They're coming to the net. Doubles is always going to be about taking away certain angles, and being at the net is a very important thing. But also, doubles is not about hitting the shit out of the ball. Doubles is about placement of the shot. Doubles is about putting your opponents in difficult situations. Doubles is about rolling the ball to people's feet that can't volley. Instead of just bashing every ball, she's the one player out there. And Mertens, I have to say, to a certain degree, they are creative. You have to be creative in doubles, and you have to play certain angles and certain shots and understand where your opponents are. And no one does it better still to this day than Su Wei. And so she's through to another Grand Slam final.
And Stubbsy, it wouldn't be us if we didn't mention two frosty handshakes on the women's side.
Yep.
Siniakova and Krejcikova, who split, played each other in the quarterfinals. Frosty. Siniakova with Storm. Hunter went through. Frosty handshake. Yesterday, Elise Mertens, who used to play with Storm Hunter.
Frosty handshake.
Frosty handshake. So we're just going to put it out there in the universe without commenting on it further.
Frosty handshakes. All right, Medvedev.
This and should be another t-shirt. Frosty handshakes.
And then on the back, a photo of Ostapenko. Because she's the queen. But anyway, Medvedev and Zverev in the evening. I'm pumped about that as well. Hopefully Medvedev can like finish this Zverev off and have him like deal with his court case. Because if I have to listen to one more fucking person talk about, why is Zverev still playing? Well, it's the way the law works, kids. You can't stop him from playing. I just hope that Medvedev makes it through to another final. He's played more friggin' tennis this 2 weeks. He's been on the court. He looked like, as I said, looked like the guy that walked out of the desert after like trying to find his car. And he got lost because he lost his keys or something the
other
day.
You know how he looked like? He looked like he was in the basement and the apocalypse happened. Yeah. And he walked out and like, the humanity was wiped off of Earth.
What's
and
happening?
He was like, oh my God.
And he walked around for 3 days getting sunburned. Going,
his hair is like...
His hair. And he's like, anyway, I friggin' love the guy so much. So hopefully he can get through that match. And... I'm not going to lie. I am so beyond respect. My level of respect for Novak is through the roof. Like he is, and it would be kind of fitting for him to break the 24, even though Serena didn't do it, to beat it with Margaret Court here.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, I'm desperate for someone to like knock Margaret Court off of her perch of the having the most Grand Slams, even though she won 10 of them down here with like half a field. But I would love to see Jannik break through. I said that I think he can win a Grand Slam this year, and I thought the Australian Open was actually a really good place for him because I think the court suits him, the ball suits him. So over 5 sets, Jannik has to compartmentalize every set. One set, next. One set, next. Like, you can't be like, oh my God, I've got to win another set. You just have to compartmentalize and go set by set, and I think that he's going to do that today. Can he win? We'll see. I can't wait for these matches today. Thanks for joining us today. You little added anything for the...
I don't. I sign most of the things you say, except for the controversial stuff. I hope you get the only hate for that.
But that's why I'm here, kid. That's why I'm here. But anyway. All right, guys. Thanks again for listening to us. It's daytime. We're going to go shower and get ourselves ready for the day. So thanks for listening. So everyone, cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.